A lot of digesting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If there's anything that serves as a reminder of the global economic fallout, it's the number of people out of work. Those filing unemployment claims for the first time is at a record high. And while we make sense of that news, world leaders are trying to put finishing touches on a plan to tackle the crisis. It seems that's what's giving world markets a bit of a boost today. Dow is up about 2% at this hour. NASDAQ and S&P 500 with gains as well. European shares are on the rise. London's FTSE is up 3%. The German DAX is up more than 4%. There was a big rally in Asia. The Hang Seng added 7.5%. And the Nikkei was up more than 4%. Let's get the latest from the G20 summit in London with our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, this group of world political and financial leaders have been gathering there. They've been together for hours today. What are we hearing about agreements in that all-important communique?
We're getting a fairly good idea that the IMF is going to get a lot more money, an extra $500 billion to help bail out struggling economies. And interestingly, it's apparently going to be able to issue more of its so-called SDRs. This is a kind of currency unique to the IMF. It apparently is going to be allowed to create an extra $250 billion to bail out economies around the world. This is effectively printing money. This is quantitative easing, but on a global scale.
And Stephen, I know there's some pretty tough talk about tax havens going on as well.
Yes, this is fascinating because curbing the tax havens was supposed to be the easy part, one of the easiest measures for the G20 to take. After all, they all need more tax revenue, a lot of public spending to do. But apparently there's been a clash between France and China. France has been pushing for very punitive action against tax havens, but China has been trying to protect Hong Kong and Macau in its own territory from heavy regulation. So you've got the ultimate paradox here of a communist government trying to defend the ultimate free market capitalist institution, the tax haven.
And when are we going to know, Stephen, if all of this has any impact on the global financial fallout?
Well, of course, the initial reaction of the markets will be pretty critical, but I suspect it's going to take a few hours for all the details to sink in. This is a very substantive document, and many weeks, if not months, before these measures have any effect on the global downturn, if they have any effect at all.
All right, our European correspondent, Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Now, jobs, as if we needed more evidence that the picture is ugly. The number of people filing new requests for unemployment insurance has risen to a record high, again, a seasonally adjusted 669,000. That caught analysts off guard a bit today. The latest from New York in Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The number of people on the unemployment rolls is now the highest as a proportion of the labor force since May of 1983. Unlike the overall unemployment number, this number, the people seeking benefits, shows that the recently laid off are having a hard time getting new jobs. John Sylvia, chief economist at Wachovia, calls this morning's data disappointing.
Jobless claims are a leading economic indicator, and the continued rise suggests that the economy will continue to lose jobs probably over the next 2 to 4 months.
For states, it means a bigger strain on already tight budgets, though the Obama stimulus plan did provide extra funds for unemployment insurance. Tomorrow, the Labor Department will report on March unemployment, a number that's not expected to be too uplifting. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
This time of year, there are just about as many IRS forms and schedules as there are calls for reforming the U.S. tax code. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell says it's time to get it together. Chris, it's pretty dense stuff, all the liabilities and deductions. How did it get that way, and why hasn't there been a concerted effort to simplify?
You know, I keep trying to understand this, and I think there are several reasons. One is, a lot of the complexity comes from good things, you know, things that we want to accomplish, home ownership, rebuilding neighborhoods. But the more things you add into the tax code, the more complicated it gets. I think the real story, however, is that industry lobbyists and politicians love tax code complexity. They reward their friends through the tax code. It's much easier to do it that way than to say, well, we're going to spend $100 million to benefit this industry. But I'm a little bit pleased to see Paul Volcker, former Fed chairman, has now been appointed to deal with tax reform.
So let's talk about the former Fed chairman then. Why hasn't anyone really paid attention to the fact that he's back?
I don't know. I mean, he's been fairly quiet. But I think people might be underestimating the influence that Volcker is going to wield over public policy. I mean, look, he proved to the world when he was head of the Federal Reserve just how tough he is and how much of a public servant he was. Industry was knocking on his door. He didn't pay attention to industry. He kept his focus on we need to bring inflation down. That's what he did, and he succeeded. If he decides he's going to put his prestige behind it, people are going to have to pay attention. And I also have a suggestion about how he can go about doing it.
That's what I was going to ask you. What kind of blueprint do you think is needed as a way to begin this overhaul?
If you want to overhaul the tax system, it needs to be bipartisan. That's the real key. So the Bush White House, it had its tax reform committee, and they came out with a report in 2005, and it was really good. It was a very good report. Make a couple of changes, you know, show, and then say, here we are. We got it. And by the way, I'm with a Democratic administration. This one came out of a Republican administration. Let's all get around this and let's simplify the tax code for the American taxpayer, and let's do it now.
All right, we'll see if that happens. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.